I fired a lot of properties and homeowners over the last few years. You know, as I first started, I was just taking deals left and right.
What you don't want is an owner that's going to be overbearing and a micromanager. And first time I speak with them, it's not them qualifying me and my company to see if it's a good fit for them. Like, I'm qualifying them. If you're just starting out, think about who you hang out with. Like, who are people that are in your circle and what type of investors are they? What type of homeowners are they? And then learn how to speak to what they care about. This week, we're going to be talking about analyzing co-hosting deals the right way. So I'm going to talk through some of the mistakes that I've made and seen other people make and then how to avoid some of those mistakes. So it's easier on you. And then also, you know, it's easier on the homeowner to understand the numbers at the end of the day. Because, you know, you don't want the homeowner to be really not trust you with your numbers. I saw a question in, I think it was either in school or in the Facebook group last night about, hey, the owner wants to look at every single like line item detail that Airbnb sends and that Vrbo sends. And it was just like, it was a lot of nitpicking and like micromanagement. And so the first thing that you want to get very clear on to help you with that is getting very, very clear on your business model for your co-hosting business. So what I mean by business model is like, what is your offer to the client? I've seen so many different ways and there's so many different ways to do it. We talked a little bit about it last week. There's the invoicing model if you're doing like straight co-hosting and you're not collecting any of the funds and you're just invoicing the client. Like that's one way to do it. In my opinion, it's not the most scalable way to do it, but it's fine when you're starting out. but as you grow your business, it's a little bit tougher to keep track of. And you're also not allowed to get, or you're not able to get on all the OTAs as easily. And I dove into that last week, but what I recommend is, you know, for your business model and your offer, charge nothing less than 20% of rental revenue. And then you keep the cleaning income and you also your company also keeps the cleaning expense. So if the cleaning expense is 200 and you charge the guest 200, you keep that money. Maybe you charge a little bit more, maybe you charge a little bit less, whatever that is. And then I charge a $140 a month tech fee. So I recommend standardizing on something like that. It's tough to scale when you have, clients on different offers. So if you have one client at 25%, one client at 10%, one client at with a tech fee, one client not with a tech fee. I actually just restructured our entire company at the beginning of this year to have everybody on one program. So it was 20% of rental revenue. We keep the cleaning income, we keep the cleaning expense, and then also the $140 a month tech fee. And the reason I say that is that $140 a month tech fee covers all my software and bookkeeping expenses. So if a hurricane comes through, or if a catastrophic event comes through, or if, let's say the owner wants to book their place for the entire month, or they want to make some upgrades to the property or something like that, and it's out for 3 weeks. Well, you know, I don't want to be out my expenses, which at the end of the day are about $135 a month for bookkeeping, for hospitable, for price labs, for all those different expenses. When you scale, you know, past like 5-10 clients, you really want to have that consistent income. And I think at the end of the day, ours is like, we make like $2,400 a month just from tech fees every single month. So it just makes it consistent income that you know you can count on that'll pay for, you know, your software and your bookkeeping expenses. So, you know, as long as you have that standardized, you know, I think you can scale really easily, and you can also talk to each client really simply about how you standardize. And you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, I don't like that tech fee," or you know, can we reduce that tech fee? And if you're standardized and everybody's on the same plan, there's only one answer: no. This is our standard plan. We don't deviate from it. It allows us to have consistency and fairness across all of our properties. What are you guys charging? What does your offer look like? If you're charging 15% or 10% because you're brand new, make sure that there's a path to get to 20% minimum. Because, you know, the way that you can say that is like, hey, I'll take 15% for the first, you know, 50K, but anything over that. Or if we hit 50K in the first year, then year two is 20%, because you really want to be able to scale and get everybody onto the same playing, like level playing field, And some people are doing like 15% across the board, 15% on, you know, maintenance, on supplies, on that sort of thing. I think that's totally fine too, especially as you scale. I think that's actually really smart and something I'm looking at as well. It's really charged 20% on top of any maintenance or supplies or anything like that that we coordinate. So, you know, having those benchmarks and having that consistent offer allows you to speak to every new client in a very consistent way. If you can renegotiate those types of conversations with your clients and just explain to them why that is going forward, I think a lot of them, especially the good ones who value what you're doing and value your business, will be able to stay on with you. Think about that for you guys. What is your ideal property? And then also, what is your ideal client, right? And it can be, hey, maybe you serve corporate housing folks. You know, like Linda Allen, she serves corporate housing and insurance bookings, and she does really, really well with that. And she knows that talk track really well. You know, the first two things that I talked about, so your owners getting very clear on that and your business model, that creates your brand for your company. And if you know your brand really well, you know your guests really well, you know your clients really well, your owners, you're able to speak to them better and then make them more money because you just kind of know you have a niche. Like your niche can be anything you want it to be. It could be, you know, if you're at the beach, it could be like, you know, something about turtle watching, something that's really focused on like whatever you want your brand to be. If you really want a high luxury brand of properties, you know, if you really like Zev and Melissa out in, they're out in like the LA area. They only focus on properties that are, you know, have beach access or have a beach view. And their onboarding fee is like $5,000 because they charge for high-end design. What is your ideal owner and what is your ideal property? Like, what is your ideal brand as well? Do you guys know that? Because then once you have those two things, then you don't have to like figure out how to, you know, analyze all types of different properties. You know, analyze a midterm rental versus a beachfront property, or analyze a property that is out in the sticks versus one that's in the city. So you just kind of know, and you have a better idea of your revenue based on your brand and the types of properties that you want to scale with. So you need to be like very clear and upfront with your owners about what those expectations are. So I recommend, and this is what I do, is I tell the owner before I even tell them like what I think their property is going to make, I always tell them that I typically expect anywhere from 50 to 60% of the gross revenue to be returned to them monthly. So that's on average, but anywhere from 50 to 60% of that gross revenue. That does not include any major repairs or maintenance. It does not include any hot tub maintenance or like, you know, landscaping or anything like that. And I tell them that, and I say, you know, typically when you break it down, our fee is 20%. So you take 20%. It's also $140 a month. Cleaning is typically 10 to 15%. And then supplies, you know, typically about 10%. I mean, it really depends on the size of the house. But, you know, if you can add that up and then just set the expectations up front, hey, between 50 and 60% is what you should expect to get back. Then they can just run backwards math in their head and be like, all right, if the property brings in 100K gross revenue, I expect 50K a year, or, you know, best case 60K a year. So I always tell them up front, and that way they know, you know, for their house, they can really expect, and they can measure me on that too. They can look at it and be like, yeah, you're right. Every single year, we're bringing 50 to 60% of gross income back. One, get very clear on your offer and what you're telling folks that you are charging. I recommend standardizing. And then number two is get clear on your ideal client and your ideal owner so that you can niche down and just really know and get more confident with the numbers, which I'll show you in a minute. But when you have properties that are very similar and you have a niche, it makes estimating revenue way easier. The first step in analyzing properties and getting an income number that you feel confident with is making sure it's legal in the area. So is it legal in the HOA? Is it legal in the city? What are the restrictions? What are the permit? What's the permit process? And, you know, the owner may come to you, or you may be doing the UI method and reaching out to them
you know, you're going to want to ask the owner, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to do your research beforehand as well. So number one, is it legal in the area? Number two is have a deal analyzer. So I am going to switch screens here. It is just a straight Google sheet, something I've worked on for a few years now. Okay, cool. This is our profit analyzer. You need to have some sort of spreadsheet that allows you to look at and put in some of these numbers to analyze co-hosting deals and purchase deals and arbitrage deals if people are still doing that. But essentially what you do is make a copy of this. And if you guys don't have a, if you guys don't have a deal analyzer, just comment deal analyzer and I will send you a copy of this. But this is really, it's not something you're going to want to share with owners, but it allows you really to, have your data in one place, have your comps in one place, and then estimate what your management income will be on a said property. So up here at the top, you can put in, if you know what the long-term rent is or what the mortgage is on the property, you can put that in here. You're going to want to edit anything that's blue. But basically, we'll just go straight down the line. So gross rents, this pulls in from this projection over here of the ADR and occupancy rate. Monthly revenue, obviously, straight pulls away 12 months of this gross rents. So it does the gross rents divided by 12. Cleaning fee pulls in from your cleaning fee income. And again, only edit the cells that are blue. You don't want to mess up any of the formulas. You'll want to edit your management fee. And then it shows what the owner cash flow would be, and then less the mortgage or the long-term rent, and then what the owner's profit would be, and then what your profit would be, or really what your revenue would be for the said property. You can also, there's a section in here for adding an owner investment and figuring out what their ROI would be on an investment, whether that's investing in new amenities or investing in like a complete build out. And then on the right side here, the owner expenses. So you're going to put supplies in here, just an estimate. You're going to put a tech fee in here, which I put 140, and then estimate the cleaning fee. So I'll get into that. But any questions so far on this spreadsheet, feel free to just put them into the chat. I figured we had a bunch of people that would want access to it. So first thing that I typically do is I use the Rentalizer inside of AirDNA. So I'm going to take this address here, 40113 State Highway, and it's in Avon, North Carolina. And I'm just going to throw that in the Rentalizer. And so this is a 4-bed, 3-bath. This I got a call, I don't know, 2 days ago during lunch. A guy said, you know, hey, my mom is running this Airbnb in Avon. She's actually got it for sale because she wants to buy a place in Atlantic Beach. But I got your number and I wanted to see if you guys could help me out. It's not booking well. It's only an Airbnb. Airbnb, you know, is using their smart pricing and, you know, it's not making us that much money. I need some help. So I told him I would look at it for him and send him a loom of my projections and what I think he can make. So I may just cut up this video and send it to him. But I found he sent me the Zillow link. And then also I've got the Airbnb listing here. He actually just sent me the Airbnb listing. And then I just did a little investigative work, kind of using the UI method. I looked at where the location was, and then I found the Zillow listing here. So it is a, what did we say? It was a 4-3. Right now they only have, I think, 5 beds, so they only sleep 8. So they may want to look at increasing that. There may be rules about that too. But what AirDNA spits out is a projected revenue of $57,000 a year, 62% occupancy, and a 251 ADR. So first thing I do, I'm like, okay, those numbers are not great. They're decent, but why is this property, you know, why is it pulling in these types of numbers? The algorithm here that you see pulls in different comps. However, some of the comps are oceanfront properties. Some of the comps are only available, you know, during the summer. Like this one's only 114 days available. So they're actually pulling in the revenue potential. And if you look at here, this place says it's 98% occupied, charging $222 a night. And it's a 4-bedroom with a pool and a dock.
this number may be accurate, the 71, if it was available the entire year. But that's kind of how they come up with that estimate. But 98% occupied the entire year is just not, it's not feasible. Nobody's doing that. Anything more than 80% occupancy on some of these comps, I would look out for. So I forget who said it earlier. I don't trust AirDNA. It might've been Dave. You need to look out for things like that. Things that, are exorbitantly high on occupancy. Especially with Vrbo, the way that AirDNA gets their data is a little bit different from Airbnb, from Vrbo. I trust Airbnb's numbers a lot more with AirDNA than I do with Vrbo. It's just the way that they're integrated with Expedia. So I look at some of these comps and I'm like, okay, well, I know this may be a little high because if they're pulling in some comps that are oceanfront properties, like this one, so this one's 51% occupied, getting 463 a night. That's 76K a year. This is Oceanside and it's got a hot tub and it sleeps 10. So I'm like, all right, this may be a little high. Yeah, it's very close to this property. So that's great, but it may be a little high. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to push these numbers in here anyways to AirDNA. And I think I already did that earlier. But in this case, you know, I figured out his mortgage was about $1,700. And, you know, if I charge 20% on this type of property, you know, my income on average would be about $691 a month, which to me, I was like, that's not really great. But I don't even trust these numbers to begin with, because he told me he was struggling with occupancy. I was looking in here, you know, he's got no bookings for March. He's got no bookings for April, May. He's got a couple bookings for June. It's a two-night minimum in June, which is weird. In the Outer Banks, it's usually much higher, 400 a night. You know, usually you want to do like a seven-night minimum in June. Looks like it's straight pricing too, or straight, you know, not dynamic pricing, which they may have turned off since talking to them. So I'm like, all right, these numbers are probably a little high. So how do I get more accurate data in this market? Well, the first thing is, I got to create a comp set. So if you look at the deal analyzer down here, I typically have three comps. You may want to add a few more, but I want to look at properties that don't have a hot tub, don't have a pool, aren't oceanfront, are pet friendly. So how do I do that? Well, in here, it's a little bit harder. So it used to be a lot easier to scroll through some of these listings. But what I recommend now doing is you're going to right click on see comparable listings and it's going to take you to Outer Banks. So I've already redone all this. So it's going to take you to this page right here. So this is the market page for the Outer Banks. These are all the different properties in the Outer Banks. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to come in here and just go to Avon, North Carolina. So this is this little market here that's in the Outer Banks. So I'm actually going to draw on the map, Avon, North Carolina. Okay. So there's 900 listings in Avon, North Carolina. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to come up here to listings and I'm going to look at listings that are, let's just say accommodates 4 to 9. I know it said 8, but I'm going to go 4 to 9 and then I'm going to look at 3 to 4 bedrooms. I'm also going to look at, I'm going to look at 2 to 3 bathrooms. And then I look at entire place, and then I want to look at houses only and hit apply. So I'm down to 295 listings. And then for performance, I want to find properties that that are available most of the year, because this place is available most of the year. I don't want to be thrown off by properties that are only available for like 2 or 3 months out of the year, or specifically in the summer. All right. Now I'm down to 173. So what I'd like to do next is go into amenities and then look at properties that do not have a hot tub, that do not have a pool, that are pet friendly. And I think some of these other amenities aren't too applicable here. So now I'm down to 17 listings. So I got pretty far down. Now, a lot of these properties around here are, some of them are like sound front as well. So I want to keep some of these because I think there may be one or two that I may keep as a comp. But I want to scroll in and just look and see my property that I was analyzing was like right around here. And this one's sound fronts. I'm like, oh, that's probably not the best comp. And then I actually want to just come in here and look at some of these comps. So I'm going to right click, show this one, make sure you guys can still see the right screen. I think you can. Yeah. And pull up some of these comps. So this one is a 4-bed, 3-bath home on the canal, sound and water access. So I'm going to look at it here and just get a better understanding for this property. So it looks like kind of a new build property. It's kind of bare bones, but doesn't have a hot tub, doesn't have a pool. That looks like it doesn't have a view either. And looks kind of bare bones, looks new, but I would probably consider this a comp right now because it's not on the ocean. And yeah, you might have some views, but it looks pretty similar in my opinion. So what I'm going to do is come back here and I'm actually going to heart this property and I'm going to create a new list. And guys, you may not have the same view in AirDNA as I do. I have the advanced tier. And so if you want to inquire on getting the advanced tier of AirDNA, I can help you out. Just comment AirDNA and we can have a conversation about getting you the advanced tier. It's included in the STR Secrets Mastermind. And I'm thinking about offering it on the side, but we'll see about that. So I'm going to create a list called Avon. And these are going to be Avon comps. So I'm going to select that one. And then I'm also going to right click, copy, and then comp one. I'm going to say, what's it called? Novice 4-bedroom, which is a really weird name for a property. I'm not going to lie. So novice 4-bedroom. And then I'm going to put the link in the little box here. And then what did it say? It said it does about 51 grand a year. So 56% and 428. So I'm going to put that in here. All right. Let's look to see if there's another couple in here. Actually, that was the wrong one, right? I did the Oceanside one. So I'm going to add that to Avon. All right. Let's look for another one. This one's Oceanfront. This one's 90-second walk, which is probably pretty similar. This one looks a little similar. So I'm just going to basically just search and try and find comps as easily as I can. So this one's a 3, 2.5. It sleeps 7, 90-second walk to the beach, pretty close to where the other property that we're looking at is. All right, 45 reviews, which is decent. And if you guys haven't been able to tell, a lot of these properties here in the Outer Banks look like crap. They are not well marketed. They are not well photographed. They do not have the amenities that I recommend. Their listings stink. And so if your properties look like this, you're not going to be in the top 10%. If you want my training on how to create a money listing, how to create a listing that really pops and stand out, just comment, listing in the comments and I'll send you my training I did on this, because 99% of these properties out here are just, they've been listed forever and the property managers here don't do a really good job. And that's why you see the revenues are so low for these properties. So I want to create a comp set of like, here are the properties that are similar now. And then create like a worst case based on the worst properties that are similar to the said property, that are similar to this property, right? This property is not oceanfront, does not have any of the amenities, is like kind of bare bones. Let me find it here. Like just doesn't look very fun, right? It's 4.86. Somehow it's a guest favorite, but I don't really know how. So just some tweaks to this listing, I think would go a long way in some new pictures and adding amenities, but that's where I'm going to create the conservative and the best case scenario. So let me go back and find just one or two more comps here. And these revenue numbers are just not good. So this place, yeah, I mean, I would say about 40K. And then I'll just insert the link here. All right. And then we already looked at this one. This one wasn't terrible, but again, only 189 days available. So now what I want to do is come back to this and look at some of the properties that are doing pretty well in this area. So it doesn't really look like many. This one could be a comp here. It says Oceanside, but that doesn't necessarily mean Oceanfront. It's doing 76K a year, 77. Really old pictures.
Just open up the listing here.
Only two reviews, which is weird, but they got the hot tub. And that's really what's drawing people in. So I'm going to take that same comp. I mean, this looks very, very similar to the property that I'm analyzing. You know, it's not, it's very outdated, still got the carpet. It's got the basketball hoop. I mean, look at this property and this property. It's very similar, right? But this property is doing 76K a year, 51% and 463. So what I'm going to do is take this 76K and I'm going to insert the link here. Press apply and show the property owner, hey, this is a very similar property that's, I mean, very close to where his property is. It sleeps 10, so it sleeps more than sleeps 8. But, you know, if you look at it and I look at the occupancy over the last 5 years and the revenue over the last 5 years, this tells me that this property's been on the market since 2023. So it's doing pretty well. Looks like it did okay. No, it did pretty bad in the summer. It did well in the fall, but in 2024, their summers did really, really well. So this tells me it's a new listing that's just getting off the ground. You know, really has been only been listed for like one full summer. But it has a hot tub. Doesn't look like it's pet friendly, but at the end of the day, it has a hot tub. So what I would tell the owners, yeah, new for 2025 is a hot tub, new carpet upstairs, improved handicap ramp. What I would tell the owner of this property is just tell them like, hey man, if you invest 10K into a hot tub, look at one of these comps and their revenue is 463 and 51% that are available pretty much the entire year, especially over the last year. If you invest into a hot tub, you could probably get 70K plus. So I would tell them that specifically and then just show them, look at this property. So based on what AirDNA and the algorithm is showing me, you know, you should be making around 56K, but I think that was actually kind of high. I think he would probably do more between like 40 to 50 with this property here. With this property here and this listing, I could see them maybe cracking 50, but if they added a hot tub and they really made some enhancements to the listing, I could see them doing 70K plus, but you have to invest in that hot tub. But now look at, you know, if you can do 425 a night and be 50% occupied, I mean, that changes. It's an extra $400 in my pocket every month as the manager. And then what is that? An extra additional profit? That's $2,431. Yeah, it's an insane amount different. Additional profit at 56K. And this is, I use these numbers to show them. Additional profit is 849. And then if they invested in a hot tub and they could get, you know, 70K plus, let's just drop this down to like 415. Let's drop it to 400. Yeah, it's like 73. So 2127 is what the profit would be. So 2127 minus 849, that's a $1,200 difference. So if you get a $10,000 hot tub, your payoff period is 8 months just by investing in that one hot tub. So that's what I would tell them. And just show them like, hey, if you invest in a hot tub, I can get you over 70K. Just if you invest in that hot tub and your return on investment of that 10K hot tub is going to be about 8 months. Are you good with that? And they're going to be like, yeah, because they're going to be making $1,200 a month more. So yeah, they got to outlay some of that cash. And you can do that for all different types of amenities. You can do that for being pet friendly. You can do that for adding a pool. You can do that for, you know, refreshing the design. All you got to do is really do a deep analysis of what are the true comps that are close to this property right now And then what are the comps that are doing a lot better than them? And they have to have similar, you know, capabilities. You can't take a house that's not oceanfront and make it oceanfront, right? But you can take a house that doesn't have a hot tub and add a hot tub. You can take a house that doesn't have a fire pit and add a fire pit. You can take a house that's poorly designed and design it really well. But what you need to do is you need to make sure that you need to find other properties that are designed really well. It could be one of yours as well. That's why I say, like, you really need to niche down on what type of property and what type of homeowner and what type of home that you want to manage, because you can talk a lot more clearer on what type of property does well and what those numbers look like. You can have a real life case study. So this is essentially what I do to find comps. And guys, I only had 20 minutes to do it here live. I typically take probably about 45 minutes per property analyzing and finding comps, finding 6-8 comps. So this is not something you can do really quickly. Obviously I'm doing it here live for you guys and like talking through it. So, you know, if I wasn't having to talk through it, I probably would have found a bunch more comps by now, but it's something that takes time and due diligence to look at, all right, what are the properties that are true comps, and then how well can we do? So for instance, if I wanted to take away and look at some of the properties that are doing really well, I would come back here and look at properties. I would probably remove some of these amenities. And so I went from 17 listings to 173. So this place right here is a 3-2 sleep 7. 87% occupied. So I'm like, all right, that's a little interesting, maybe a little high, but it doesn't look like it's oceanfront. So let me take a look at this property. So occupancy is like really high. So that tells me they probably have some sort of long-term renter in there. And I forget who it was early, not trusting AirDNA's numbers. There's a couple different things, especially at the beach. I have a different trading on this, but when you have a property that is 100% occupied or like really high occupancy, it means there's probably a midterm renter in there. And what happens is if you have your calendar set on Airbnb, and let's say it's set for January, February, March, and your average pricing for January, February, and March, let's say is $100 a night, that's 90 days. What is that? $9,000 for those 3 months. Let's say you have that set up. And if you're booked, let's say you get a book, you know, somebody that books for you for that entire time, those 3 months, all AirDNA does is scrape your calendar and they pull what pricing it was right before that person booked. And then that's what they think you got booked for. So if you got booked, you know, on a different, OTA, they also scrape Vrbo's too. But if you got booked on a different OTA like Furnish Finder, they're going to think you got booked for $9,000 for those 3 months. Maybe it was like $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 because you're paying for the higher occupancy. So it's a little bit different that way. But anyways, coming through here, I want to see over the last 5 years. Yeah. I mean, it's normal to be booked 100% in the summer for these types of properties. So I'm not too concerned about that. But still, it seems a little high to me for the off-season months, even at 60%. But I'm just going to look at this property and see if it's a comp for me. So they do have a hot tub. So again, another property with a hot tub. They do have a bunch of reviews. So to me, that's like, hey, that's a good sign. If they only had like one review, I'd be like, all right, this may not be good data here. But it just looks like a fresh, airy property that's, you know, designed decently. It's like a 2021 design type of property. They got a decent amount of amenities, but it looks like their calendar's pretty well booked out. It probably is because they're pretty aggressively priced. Yeah, they're getting like 180 a night. You know, so a place like this, people are doing just weekend trips because the price is cheap in the winter time, in the off season. But I guarantee you, yeah, they're going to go into weekly rentals for the summer and they don't have any bookings. So That's kind of their strategy, is they're doing, you know, one night, two night minimums in the off season, and then they're doing 7-night minimums in the summer, which is totally normal, and they get a higher rate. So these people are doing, you know, revenue management, I think, in my opinion, 80% well, but their listing doesn't look that great. There's definitely some things that they could do. They could take much better pictures and really get more bang for the buck here. But again, if they're, you know, doing 85 a year, I'm using this as a comp and be like, hey man, if you get a hot tub, this is a pretty good comp. And this place may be a little bit closer to the beach, but you want to find really solid comps that are doing well that you can show them, hey, if you invest in these types of things, a better design in a hot tub or a fire pit or some of these things, then you can create a better comp set and then create a range for them. So I typically give like a worst case, you know, in this case, just by looking at these few comps, worst case, I would say 42,000. Conservative case, I would say probably 48. Best case, I would say, you know, if they invested in a hot tub, I'd say 72K plus pictures plus refresh on linens, you know. And then to get that 48, I would say invest in new picks plus refresh linens. So that's essentially what I would do. And guys, I would get a lot more comps again. There we go. So AirDNA, the way that they get their data is they scrape calendars. They do it very consistently. They do it many times. But that gross revenue number that you see of what they estimate, that is the number. And I'll share my screen again, actually, just so we're all clear here. This annual revenue number and the revenue potential number, this is the gross rental fee, or I'm sorry, the gross revenue. So this includes cleaning fees, includes any other fees that are charged, but it does not include like the Airbnb fees. So if you see in here, that's why I include cleaning fees as a cost. That's why it's an expense. If you take that out, it's going to make this deal look way, 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 way better, right? It's where people messed up a lot because it can be 10 to 15% of expenses. So you need to make sure you include it in here as an expense. I mentioned this earlier too. I never share this document. I never share this deal analyzer with a client. There's too many numbers on it. Way too many numbers on it. You're going to get questions left and right on this thing. So what I do share though is a Canva presentation that includes a few things. So it includes what my company does. It includes our fee schedule. It includes what I think their property is going to do. So it includes that worst case, conservative, and that best case. It includes comps that support that as well. So I would just include little icons of some comps and what they're doing, what their revenue numbers are, so I can talk intelligently of how I came up with those numbers. And then it obviously includes the upgrades and what I would recommend they do. And that's about it.